Well, good evening, everybody, and it's great to see you all again. And thank you for joining us. We decided in the end to run this online. Some people wanted it online, some people wanted it in person, and we just decided we'd get the maximum attendance by continuing to do it in this way. But if people are interested, we should be able to host something in person later in the year, or maybe I'll be motivated to do a Part B course as well. What I intend to do this evening is to summarize the answer to the question, why business matters to God. That was the question that we set out to explore and to answer. And then I'll reflect on a few questions before opening up a period of discussion and Q&A and observation and so on and so forth. But let's just first of all recall the basic outline that we've been doing. If you can take us on to the next slide, thank you. This is what we've done. Four main topics that we have been thinking about under this topic of why business matters to God. A biblical theology of work all the way back in January. Then looking at that idea of the divine imperative of wealth creation, call and vocation, and then enterprise and entrepreneurship. And today, a summary and discussion evenings. Well, I could have chosen different topics. I could have expanded that list, but I think that list of four topics does represent a helpful framework covering most aspects, maybe not all, but most aspects of what it means for a Christian to be in business, to work, to be an entrepreneur, to be called into whatever work we're called into. And one of the things I want to achieve at the end of this evening is to make sure you've got in your minds a framework so that if you're engaged in these debates and these discussions elsewhere or with other people, you have a framework in your mind as to how we can deal with these topics. And those four topics there are a reasonable framework for us to work with. So, what might we actually say in answer to the question, why business matters to God? I'm going to start by using repeating a small selection of quotes that I've used over the course of the last few months, just to illustrate the key points. And starting with this one from Dorothy Sayers, you may remember this way back in January. I used this, her 1942 essay, really quite advanced thinking for the time, where Dorothy Sayers addressed the question, why work? And she argued that you may remember that an intelligent carpenter, that in respect of an intelligent carpenter, the very first demand that his religion makes upon him is that he should make good tables. It's a really important starting point, and we'll come back to the principles behind this a little bit later. You know, what didn't she say? She didn't say the purpose is to convert the workforce or the customer. She said the first demand of a Christian carpenter is to make good tables. And it's our failure, I think, as a Christian church to have anything coherent to say about the place and the role of business, which has reduced or indeed possibly even shamed us into thinking that actually the purpose of work is evangelism. Maybe this is controversial, but actually, it is not. The purpose of work is not evangelism. If you want to challenge me on that, we can come back and discuss it at the end. Rather, what we have in this quote from Dorothy Sayers is something very basic about God's purposes for all people in his world. It's as simple as that. Something very basic about God's purposes for all people in his world. And then thinking of the idea of call and vocation. Dorothy Sayers again went on to say this: it is the business of the church to recognize that the secular vocation as such is sacred. And just pause for a moment and think of that. And I know that's a repeat quote from a couple of months ago. But actually, it's deeply, deeply important. We are saying, we are arguing from a biblical and theological perspective, that the daily work that you undertake, whatever work that is, whatever the calling is, whatever it may be, inside the church, outside the church, doesn't matter where, that that calling is sacred. So it's not that only the callings within the church are sacred and that the rest is secular. Actually, if a calling comes from God, then it is essentially a sacred call. And that rather exposes the dualism which has infected so much of the contemporary church. The modern evangelical church, quite bizarrely, has divided the sacred and the secular in a way that comes close to denying God's sovereignty and in a way unknown to the reformers themselves. Last week, I was giving some talks and lectures on Calvin and natural theology, Calvin and natural law, and the whole reformed tradition in that area. And I dug out this quote that I thought was very relevant for tonight. So this is not a repeat. You've not seen this quote before. And what Calvin is doing in this quote from the Institutes is linking natural law as a gift of God to common grace, civic order, and the actions of people to act for the common good outside of special revelation. In other words, how can you order civil society? And this is what he says. Whenever we come upon these matters in secular writers, let that admirable light of truth shining in them teach us that the mind of man, though fallen and perverted from its wholeness, is nevertheless clothed and ornamented with God's excellent gifts. What then? Shall we deny that the truth shone upon the ancient jurists who established civic order and discipline with such great equity? Shall we say that they are insane who developed medicine, devoting their labor to our benefit? What shall we say of all the mathematical sciences? Shall we consider them the ravings of madmen? No, we cannot read the writings of the ancients on these subjects without great admiration. We marvel at them because we are compelled to recognize how preeminent they are. But shall we count anything praiseworthy or noble without recognizing at the same time that it comes from God? A significantly more fruitful way of viewing God as sovereign over the civil order, including the economy. And you can see in that quote, you could fit the world of business and the economy to be part of that civil order that Calvin sees as belonging to all people. The Roman Catholics, you may remember, are more insightful into this than many evangelicals. You may recall this quote: the vocation of the business person is a genuine human and Christian calling. The importance of the business person's vocation in the life of the church and the world economy can hardly be overstated. Just let me pause there. Just imagine how it would change the sense of self-worth of people working in the business world if they hear a church leader saying the importance of the business person's vocation in the life of the church and in the world economy can hardly be overstated. Business leaders are called to conceive of and develop goods and services for customers and communities through a form of market economy. For such economies to achieve their goal, that is the promotion of the common good, they should be structured on ideas based on truth, fidelity to commitments, freedom and creativity. And then the next quote, while we're discussing the market economy, from Michael Novak in his 1991 book, The Spirit of Democratic Capitalism. Of all of the systems of political economy which have shaped our history, none has so revolutionized ordinary expectations of human life, lengthened the lifespan, made the elimination of poverty and famine thinkable, enlarged the range of human choice as democratic capitalism. And one last sort of reflective quote from previous weeks, Deirdre McCloskey in the bourgeois virtues. I think she puts her finger on it here. In an ideal world, capitalist work would be necessary. Contrary to a widespread belief among the clergy that good work and capitalist work are inconsistent with each other. It's a great quote, because she's saying, you know, even in the perfect world, even in the world pre-fall, whatever world, capitalist work would be necessary, rather than it simply being drudgery in the world in which we live. So I just wanted to run through those few representative quotes taken from previous weeks, pardon the Calvin quote, which I slipped in extra, really just to help us with two significant questions before we attempt a summary of our question to why business matters to God. And the first significant question is the foundational importance of a robust theological and biblical framework. And the second is understanding how and why the church has failed business. And I'm just going to spend 5 to 7 minutes or so on this. Then one other thing before we go into discussion. But getting the theology right. Now, one of the most important, I hope Paul's listening here, one of the most important tasks of the pastor of a church is to ensure a well-taught people of God. It's a most important task that the pastor has to ensure not that he knows ever more, but that the people of God in his care are well taught. Because salvation most definitely does not come from the clergy. Salvation comes, of course, from Jesus Christ. But the point being that actually the truth of the gospel, the understanding of the gospel in the world in which we live, is protected by a well-taught lay people, a well-taught people of God. And it's because of that that we are enabled as the whole people of God to be able to argue the case, to be able to defend a position, to be able to explain and justify how and why we understand particular things. The minister, of course, cannot be an expert in every aspect of life and work. The minister's responsibility is to equip, to enable the people of God, the Lord's people, to understand biblical and theological principles, which can then be applied to the business of life and the challenges of this world. Well, what might those biblical and theological principles be in respect of the importance of business? Let me set a few down, which should at least provide a framework. And we'll just go through these each in turn. Firstly, a clear, robust appreciation of the creation principles. The creation mandates, those ideas and principles which include work, the combining and bringing together of resources, wealth creation, the endowment of gifts and skills, all set forth in the opening chapters of Genesis, and they apply God's purposes in creation for all people. The creation mandates are absolutely essential to understanding how God relates to the world which he has created, irrespective of the place of salvation in Jesus Christ. This is what applies for all people for all time. And the idea sets out the underlying theological basis of entrepreneurship, creativity, and innovation. Many of those things that we have been discussing, debating, and reflecting upon. So, clear, robust application of the creation principles. Secondly, an appreciation of the sovereignty of God over all things. This is a reminder, really, of Kuiper's sphere sovereignty, built on the principle that there was, as he said in his opening address to the Free University of Amsterdam, which he founded, the 1880s, and I think it was it the 1890s? Can't quite remember. There is not one single inch over which God was not sovereign. Not one single inch. So God is sovereign over the whole of society. God is sovereign over the world of business. God is sovereign over our workplaces. God is sovereign over our families, and so on and so forth. And therefore, every sphere, including the sphere of business, represents an area of the Lord's vineyard as important as any other. Third, recognition of the dignity of the human person. And central, if you read other literature, central to many of the debates and discussions around work, responsibility, and so on, is the principle of the imago Dei, the image of God. Because we are created in God's image as human beings, we carry the dignity of the image of God in us. And that dignity, of course, has implications both for work itself, the idea that work and wealth creation carry intrinsic purpose and are not merely instrumental, and, of course, for responsibility for work and workers in a fallen world. So something important about the dignity of the human person. And then fourth, the challenge of discipleship in a world that has fallen. And you'll have noticed how these principles have gone. We started with creation, setting out some basic principles that shape the world of work and business and the economy for all people, recognizing God's sovereignty, recognizing our dignity comes from God, but then recognizing also that we're operating in a fallen world. And therefore, we have to show discipleship. We have to show how we are to live for God in this place. Faithful discipleship in business, in the workplace, in the world in which God has set us, and which indeed has been tainted by sin. So maybe just hang on to those four theological principles: the creation principles, the sovereignty principle, the dignity principle, and the discipleship principle. And they will give you a biblical framework for holding that essential balance between the principles of creation and a fallen world, enabling us to celebrate the Lord's provision of raw materials and gifts and abilities, to promote entrepreneurship, to recognize the centrality of work, whilst at all times recognizing that in a fallen world, we're going to need a combination of grace, of character, of call, of responsibility, and so on. So in the light of all of that, here is my summary paragraph of why business matters to God. You won't see this written in any book because I haven't yet written the book. And I have developed this definition, if you like, out of this course. I deliberately didn't start with it. I've allowed it to emerge from these sessions. This is how it goes. Business matters to God because the idea of business represents a fundamental aspect of God's purpose in creation and call to humanity to work and create wealth. Business matters to God because he equips humanity with gifts of innovation and creativity for use in his world over which he is sovereign. Business matters to God because he remains sovereign over a fallen world. Business matters to God because it is a field of discipleship and faithfulness in a fallen world. In short, business matters to God. Well, I'm sure you could improve that. I'm sure you could pull it apart and add a few other things, take a few things out. But that was my sort of summary, if you like, of the answer to the question. And I hope you can see that that relates to those theological principles and framework which I have set out. Now, before turning to some discussion questions, I just want to ask the question, because I've mentioned it several times over the course of these months, and you may or may not agree with it, but that the church has really failed business. And I just wanted to spend a few minutes reflecting on why that is so. And firstly, the first reason is the failure in much of the church to appreciate Calvin's twofold knowledge of God. Now, I probably just need to explain this a little. Calvin, in writing the Christian Institutes, used a framework of the twofold knowledge of God. The Christian Institutes went through a variety of sorry, the Institutes of the Christian Religion went through a variety of editions. And in the final edition, which was 1559, Calvin used this framework to explain his entire work. And in essence, Calvin's argument was there is a twofold knowledge of God. Firstly, there is the knowledge of God as creator. And secondly, there is the knowledge of God as redeemer. It's a simple idea and it's fundamental. It tells us we need the understanding of God's purposes in creation and the understanding of God's purposes in redemption. So the knowledge of God as creator will not save you. The knowledge of God as creator will not bring you to under the saving grace of the gospel. But it is still possible to have some form of purpose, of knowledge, of wisdom and insight from God's role as creator that is primarily there for all. And then obviously the knowledge of God as redeemer is what we understand and what we obtain by coming under the grace of the gospel. But as you can see, you need, if you only operate with the knowledge of God as redeemer, you will indeed believe that your purpose in work is to convert the person sitting at the next desk or to convert the person on the assembly line. And you will go into the office armed with tracts and leaflets and the whole thing will be orientated to us because everything must be understood that way. And therefore, we are helped enormously by the idea of Calvin's knowledge of God as creator, as well as the knowledge of God as redeemer. Now, obviously, as committed Christians, we would also say you can't just rely on the knowledge of God as creator. If you do that, then that's insufficient for salvation. Sorry, I went on a little long about that. I've been wittering on about Calvin in another place last week. But it's a really important distinction, that twofold knowledge of God. And the failure to recognize that and appreciate that, I think, is a key element in the failure of much of the contemporary evangelical church to understand business. The second point is the prioritization of the spiritual over the secular. We mentioned that earlier. It's a dualism that the Bible does not recognize. And it goes back to that principle about sovereignty. And it goes back to that idea of God being sovereign over the whole world, the entire world. It doesn't mean that Paul's calling to be the minister of IPC Ealing is unimportant. It doesn't mean that at all. It means it's deeply important. It also means that another individual's calling to be an entrepreneur or a business person or to work in law or to work in construction, whatever it may be, is also a calling from God. It's not setting them up against each other. And one of the problems of the contemporary evangelical church is that we seem to have fallen into the trap of saying the only jobs that really matter are the ministerial jobs, the spiritual jobs, and so on. And that's a reflection also of the third point, the pietistic turn inward. It is utterly disastrous for the church to be unable to have a competent, coherent, rational explanation of how we spend the overwhelming majority of our time. If we are unable to explain God's purposes for us in the workplace, if we are to view the only important things as that inward piety, and I'm not denigrating inward piety, is if we view that only as the only important thing, it doesn't matter about the world out there, we are to shun it, we are to ignore it, we are to separate from it because it is evil. The turn inward, therefore, leads to a complete inability to explain God's purposes for us. I'm very happy for people to come back and challenge me on this in the discussion if you wish to. And fourthly, much of the modern church has invested way too much in the ability of the state to solve many of our problems in the world of business and the economy. So the state takes on a role as arbiter, the state takes on a role as a redistributor of wealth. And therefore, you find the church very often advocating high levels of taxation and redistribution, which saps the very gifts which the Lord has endowed upon people. Now, don't mishear this. Of course, there's a balance in society to be achieved. Obviously, government has to levy taxation in appropriate ways in order to fund some basic services. We all understand that. But if we tax excessively because of this idea that we wish to redistribute income, we distribute wealth, we are sapping the very gifts which God has endowed upon his people and conveyed them with dignity. For example, it deprioritizes the family in favor of the state. Anyway, you can agree or disagree with those things, but those are just four observations on how and why the church has failed business. Not understanding the distinction between the knowledge of God as creator, the knowledge of God as redeemer, prioritization of the spiritual over the secular, the pietistic turn inward, and an overemphasis on the role of the state. So what I'm just going to do now is introduce a few questions which can guide our discussion. I'll just say the odd sentence or two on each. We don't have to discuss these. We can discuss anything you want. But I thought it would be helpful in the light of what we've done so far just to set up a few areas for potential discussion. So in the light of all this, what is the purpose of business? Now, of course, there's no reason why people should not establish businesses with social purposes. The idea of social enterprise is a good one and a sound one. And in the past, commercial principles were applied to achieve social outcomes, not least in the area of housing. And various aspects of microfinance and loans and so on. Yet with all the modern passion for denigrating profit and wealth creation, for all the advocacy of B Corps, for all the political advocacy and lobbying by companies and so on, I wonder if we've lost sight of a basic purpose of a company in the eyes of God: to develop and produce goods and services for the benefit of the people they serve. So we can discuss that if you wish. Secondly, what is good work? Well, perhaps we should engage from a Christian perspective on how we form and shape and design work for the future. With the challenge of artificial intelligence, I would argue we should be embracing technology and embrace as a gift from God, and alongside that, embracing lifelong learning and education rather than simply defending old industries. I was in the northeast of England last week, and it was a salient reminder as I traveled up the A19 and tucked into my breakfast, not while I was traveling up the A19, tucked into my breakfast of Hartlepool kippers, which were absolutely wonderful, was how that area has changed in the 50 years that I've known it. I used to live there when it was mining villages and pit villages. And the only thing that mattered was the mines and the pits. They've not been there for a long time. And the people who live there look at life differently now. And they want to be encouraged. They want to have aspiration. They want to be able to serve their families and so on and so forth. So rather than just defending old industries, we need to help people. This is how I'm beginning to sound like an argument for the leveling up agenda here. It probably is in a way, I suppose. But rather than just defending old industries, we need to help people embrace new technology and lifelong education and learning. Thirdly, what is good wealth? I've argued it's good to generate wealth. But wealth in whatever form, and whether we have a little or a lot. And, you know, there's nothing more destructive than comparing yourself to other people and saying they've got more, or I've got more, or they've got less, I've got less. Whatever we've been given, whatever we've been entrusted with, generates responsibilities to our families, to our church, to educating and equipping Christians, to local communities, to doing social good. Fourth question, what are good business ethics? how can we actually make a difference in the workplace without being either arrogant or excruciatingly embarrassing? Maybe it is back to the basic creation principles, doing a good job, promoting a good work, something about purpose and character and call, loyalty, integrity, honesty. You could probably fill in the gaps. And finally, how can the church help? Teach well. Equip the saints for work and business in the Lord's work. Pray. Pray for those who work in the economy. Bring people together to support and share. See the world of work and business and the economy as a central part of the Lord's vineyard into which we are all called. And my final slide is just a reminder of what I'd come up with as why business matters to God. Just read it one last time. Business matters to God because the idea of business represents a fundamental aspect of God's purpose in creation and call to humanity to work and create wealth. Business matters to God because he equips humanity with gifts of innovation and creativity for use in his world over which he is sovereign. Business matters to God because he remains sovereign over a fallen world. Business matters to God because it is a field of discipleship and faithfulness in a fallen world. In short, business matters to God. Great. Thank you very much.